Well, hey friends, welcome to day two of my little mini series on how to build an ongoing, flourishing, satisfying relationship with God. It's like literally the mechanics of how to spend time with God. Sounds silly, and yet if it is, why is it that the vast majority of Christians are failing at this? And I'm going to give you some practical steps to do that that will help and bless you. Good. We'll jump into that in a moment. Hey, as usual, a couple of housekeeping things. If you're new to my ministry, should be a lot of links below, my website, my YouTube channel. We have over 1 million subscribers to that now. Why not join that group? A great way of keeping in touch with me would be to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below, and we'll send you a free gift when you do that. And then secondly, I want to say a big thank you to all of the partners of my ministry. We are able to do these videos, do this ministry, put these out and send them all over the world. And more importantly, from my perspective, to put them in front of people who wouldn't normally watch them. We literally pay now to advertise these videos in places like Saudi Arabia, Iran, Middle East, different places like that, because we want this message of faith, the message of the gospel, to get out to people who wouldn't normally hear it. So I'd really appreciate it if you consider becoming a partner to this ministry. You could give $1 a month, you can give $1,000 a month, wherever you're at, but there's a link below if you're interested in becoming a partner. Boom. So let's talk about our relationship with God. And today I want to cover something which a lot of us have heard, but I find people haven't always connected the dots at, and something which frankly is the foundation of my relationship with God, which changed and transformed everything about my relationship with God. And it's simply the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. The bottom line for all of us, if I could go to the average Christian and get them to be 100% honest, pump them full of sodium pentothal or some truth serum or something like that, and get somebody to be really honest, I think what most people would say is that as they look at their relationship with God, the ongoing relationship with God, that there are times when they feel really close to God. Maybe at church, maybe at some conference, maybe in prayer. Sometimes when they're on the mountaintop where they feel really close to Him. There are probably, most people would say, sometimes, they may not admit this publicly, but sometimes where they're embarrassed in their relationship with God, they are shame-filled, they've sinned, they are kind of like afraid to ask God to forgive them, and they're sitting there like the prodigal son in the pigsty, like, I am not worthy to be called one of my father's sons. I should be like a hired servant living in the barn kind of thing, where we're like guilt and shame, yuck, stands between us and God. I'm sure that's true of nearly everybody. And I think for the vast majority of us, the vast majority of the time, we can often live in a place where, at least experientially in our relationship with God, we just don't feel that close to Him. Maybe there's not a big problem to solve. Maybe we're not in the pit of despair. Maybe we're not on the mountaintop. I think for a lot of the time, we're just busy. We're just doing life. We're feeding kids and working and driving and listening to podcasts. You know, showering. We're doing a whole bunch of the mechanics of life. And so often, again, I don't think people tend to use this language, and I at times like to push people into using language they wouldn't normally use in church, because it helps them be honest. And whenever we're truly honest about something, we're at least beginning to be on the road to change those things. My point is, I think there are many seasons where, frankly, we just forget that God exists. I don't mean we forget He exists for years, months, but we forget He exists for minutes and hours. We live as practical atheists in a way, we're functioning as atheists. You say, I'm not an atheist. I know you're not. I'm not. But it's possible for me to go half an hour in my life where I don't want to think of the Lord. And so it is for you, if you're honest with that. So this is what I want you to understand today. Jesus comes, and contrary to a lot of our thinking, He doesn't encourage us to build a relationship with God primarily. Jesus comes to the earth and He has a perfect relationship with Father God. He says, I and my Father are one. He's completely joined with the Father. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He could have literally said, my Father is the vine, I am the branch. Jesus is to us what he was to the Father. And Jesus lives out a perfect relationship with the Father. And then at Calvary's cross, Jesus dies, and literally he dies to his relationship with the Father. He's separated from the Father. My God, why have you deserted me? Why have you abandoned me? And here's what we want you to understand. When we're born again, we receive the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We get a ticket to heaven. Well, you're not actually going to heaven. Heaven's coming to earth. But let's not argue about big, important, but non-relevant details right now. The point I want you to grasp here in a very real way is when you got born again, you were placed in Christ Jesus. If you were to say to me, Graham, what is the relationship you have with the Father? The biblical, theological, accurate answer to that question is actually this. I have Jesus' relationship with the Father. And from God's vantage point and perspective, my relationship with him doesn't go up and doesn't go down. My relationship with him actually always stays the same. I'm in Christ Jesus. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, Colossians 1:13. I mean, let me put it this way. Right now, I'm in the nation of France. Now, I was not born in France, and I don't sound French when I speak French, maybe, whatever, but legally, I am a citizen of France. I have French citizenship. I have a French passport. When I flew into Paris 2 or 3 days ago, I put my French passport down, and I'm just as French as anybody else who comes here. You could say, Graham, how French do you feel? You're feeling, you know, you're going to break out into that La Marseillaise, the French national. Like, are you feeling really French? Not so French. At times I hate France. At times, most of the time I love France. It doesn't matter what my feeling is about that. I am French. That's a posture. That's a position. And it's really important that we grasp this, because we tend to think about relationships in terms of how close we are to somebody, what's going on, have we had an argument with them, have we spent quality time with them, have we expressed love for them, are we're feeling close to them, we're not feeling close to them. You know, imagine, I mean, I have two brothers. Imagine, it's not actually true, but imagine if I spend lots of time with one, call him every day. I don't, but the other, I speak to him once a year. That's how a lot of us are looking at our relationship with God. And the danger is, when we think we are doing poorly in that performance with God, we tend to think God downgrades our relationship with him. And I just want you to grasp and understand, because that's the foundation of everything. You've been placed in Christ Jesus. The relationship you have with the Father is Jesus' relationship with the Father. You are in Jesus. You're in his relationship. You've been born into the Son of his love. There's Father, Son, and Spirit, and you've been placed in the Son. And that's a relationship you have with him. And in a way, the way we enjoy, the way we put on, the way we develop, the way we explore that relationship is not by trying to attain it, but rather by acknowledging that we already have it. There's a lovely verse I love in the little book of Philemon. Philemon, there's actually only one chapter, but chapter 1, verse 6, it says, the sharing of our faith, the communion of our faith, the koinonia, the word is there in the Greek, the transmission of our faith is made effective or effectual, effective is the English word we use today, by the constant acknowledging of all the good things which you already have in Christ Jesus. It's a very wordy phrase, but let me put it into modern English. What Paul's saying there is the way you get your faith working internally, the way you get it working with others, is by the constant acknowledging of what you already have and who you already are in Christ Jesus. Let me rephrase it in the context of this teaching as I close today. The way you build an ongoing glorious relationship is by constantly acknowledging who you are in Christ Jesus. Yeah? That's our goal. That's our mission. It's to be acknowledging, to be touching base with, to be coming back to these truths, to stand in them, to stand on them, to praise them, to thank them. So I'm going to carry on teaching on this each day, but here's what that actually practically real world looks like. It looks like this. You see, in the old world, in the evangelical Christianese world, I get up and I go, how close am I to the Lord? Have I sinned? Have I grieved Him? Did I read my Bible yesterday? Have I prayed? How am I feeling about my relationship with God? Depending on the weather, my emotions, lots of different things. Biblically, I get up and I say, ooh, I wonder how I'm doing with the Lord. Let's find out. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have been made new. Oh, I'm dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's me, 1 Corinthians 6:17. And it's like I don't base my relationship with the Lord on my feelings. I come to God's word and I say, this is true. This is what I have. Now, I may not feel that's true, but my feelings don't matter. Here's the glorious secret, and I'll end with this. When you come to the relationship you already have in Christ Jesus, and begin to thank Him for that, begin to acknowledge that, begin to say, Lord, this is the truth. This is what I actually have and enjoy right now. When you begin to do that, then all of a sudden you begin to feel it. The feelings, the emotions, the corresponding parts of that will go with that. And you'll begin to feel you're a new creation. If you'll awake to righteousness, the Bible says you will sin not, 1 Corinthians 15:34. If you'll awake and put on the righteousness of God, you'll begin to feel righteous. So step number one is you step into the relationship you already have in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to talk in the next one. Don't worry, we're going to talk about sin, repentance, how to live and how to conquer sin in your life. But it's important. You don't live a holy life, and if when you're holy enough, step into Christ Jesus. You start in Christ Jesus. Selah. Guys, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another teaching, part three of this series. Again, hit the subscribe button down there. Please sign up for our email newsletter, and why not consider becoming a partner to this ministry. God bless you and have an amazing day. Bye for now.